Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 89 for the week of November 23rd, 2020. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Before we dig into the usual weekly and monthly data, I want to highlight some quarterly data we got from the Census Bureau last week, and that's third quarter revenues for trucking and parcel and local delivery, or more formally, couriers and messengers. We sort of have to look at Q2 and Q3 together because of the pandemic. Although the Census Bureau has been reporting industry-wide revenue data on truck transportation only since 2009, I don't think I'm really going out on a limb to declare that Q2 clearly was the worst quarter on record, at least in terms of its comparison to the prior quarter or the quarter the year before. The data we got last week is advance, not seasonally adjusted data, so comparing Q3 to Q2, for example, doesn't necessarily tell us anything meaningful. We will get seasonally adjusted data in December. For the record, though, unadjusted Q3 revenues for trucking jumped nearly 15% from Q2. Year-over-year data, however, is meaningful with not seasonally adjusted data. Q3 revenues were down 6.1% year-over-year. That's the second largest drop on record after the 17.6% plunge in Q2. Now, given all the strength in trucking that is all the rage in all the discussions, you might be surprised that the industry did not do better than this in Q3. Well, consider a few things. First, the third quarter started in July, and we were still somewhat early in the recovery at that point. A bigger issue, though, is that the total freight market has not recovered. The spot market is very hot, in part because demand is stronger, but also because of a whole host of disruptions, capacity, supply chain, carrier freight networks, and so on, and the spot market thrives on disruption. However, the spot market is only about 30% of all freight volume. Revenues, of course, are a function of volume times rate. FTR estimates that truckload revenues truckload rates in Q3 were around 7% higher than they were a year earlier, almost totally because of the surge in spot rates. So, if the Census Bureau revenue data is accurate, truck freight volume obviously had to have not recovered in Q3, because if revenues were down 6% and rates were up, then obviously freight volume had to be down more than 6% year over year. Okay. We have a completely different story when we look at couriers and messengers or parcel and local delivery. The past two quarters have seen the largest year-over-year increases on record. Q2 was up about 13%, and Q3 was up 15% year-over-year. And with COVID-19 cases surging currently, it's not unreasonable to think that local delivery revenues will keep rising, given that there's a direct link between this segment and e-commerce. And as we will talk a bit later about in this podcast, e-commerce is doing quite well. Okay, let's talk about the spot market. Total spot load postings in the truckstop.com system were up a little, about 0.6% during the week ended November 20th. That's week 46 of the year. Small gains in dry van and refrigerated volume offset a small decline in flatbed volume. Total load volume remains extraordinarily strong at about 93% higher than the same week last year. The market demand index, which is the ratio of load postings to truck postings in the system, remains extraordinarily high, although it did ease to the lowest level in 5 weeks, as a small gain in truck postings still outpaced a smaller gain in load volume. As we discussed a few podcasts ago, the U.S. has seen a sharp increase in the number of new for-hire trucking operations authorized in the past several months, but we have not seen this capacity show up in the form of truck postings in the spot market. Dry van loads were up 1.8% week over week. Dry van volume was nearly 96% higher than the same 2019 week, but that's the weakest year-over-year comparison in 10 weeks. Refrigerated loads also increased 1.8% to set a third straight weekly record. Week 46 also brought the fourth straight week-over-week volume gain, something that had not happened since early June. Despite setting a record, refrigerated volume growth didn't match seasonal expectations, and the year-over-year comparison was the weakest in 9 weeks, although it was 147% higher than the same week last year. If you want to call that week, go ahead. Truck postings jumped 12.1%. That's the biggest increase in more than 6 months, and that sent the refrigerated MDI lower after three straight records. Flatbed loads eased 1.6% week over week. Despite the slightly weaker volume, the year-over-year comparison was stronger at 123% higher, as flatbed volume this time last year was fading. Okay, let's touch on spot rates. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, increased nearly 3 cents to the highest level since July of 2018. Rates were about 33% above the same week last year and about 26% above the five-year average. Dry van and refrigerated rates also were the highest since July of 2018. Dry van rates, which were up about 3 cents, were nearly 48% above the same 2019 week. Refrigerated rates, which rose nearly 4 cents, were up about 39% above the same week last year. And flatbed rates were up nearly 2 cents and were nearly 30% above the same 2019 week. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. First, let's get crude prices out of the way. We're seeing some very slight increases in the price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. The closing price on November 20th was $42.15, which is the highest price since the beginning of September. However, this still is not a high price for crude. It's far lower than what we were seeing before early March. In any event, diesel prices were up again in the latest week, although not by as much as they were a week earlier. We talked at some length in last week's podcast about the 5.8 cent increase in the national average diesel price, which had been the biggest gain in more than a year. During the week ended November 23rd, diesel prices were up another 2.1 cents. A much smaller increase, but that's still the third largest gain this year. By the way, the average price as of November 23rd is $2.462 cents a gallon. Again, crude prices are slightly higher, so we can't count that out as a contributing or even leading factor, but it doesn't really seem to be enough of an increase to explain the past couple of weeks. I'm going to point out, and I'm going to emphasize this, I am not an energy market expert. But if I had to bet on the reason for the diesel price increases, I would focus on what's happening with inventories. Inventories of ultra-low sulfur distillate, which is the base stock for on-highway diesel, have been falling rather sharply since mid-September, after a surge following the contraction and after holding fairly steady at high levels in June, July, and August. To be sure, the absolute level of distillate stocks is still high relative to where they were before the pandemic. Inventories are down only to where they were in late April. Still, it could be the speed of the drawdown that is related to what's happening with diesel prices. However, if that's the case, it raises the question of why inventories are falling. Are they falling because supply is constrained all of a sudden? Or are they falling because demand is much higher? And if demand is much higher, does that suggest that trucking's fuel use is now sharply higher over the last couple of months? I don't have an answer to those questions, but it is an interesting discussion that may go beyond what's happening specifically with diesel prices and talk more broadly about what's happening in trucking. In any case, check out the slide deck accompanying the podcast to see what's happening with inventories for yourself. Okay, let's talk about the unemployment situation. The number of people continuing to receive benefits keeps falling, but the latest week saw seasonally adjusted initial claims for unemployment rise by 31,000 to 742,000. That's a small increase, but it was the first increase in 6 weeks. Given renewed restrictions in various states over surging COVID-19 infections, further increases in initial claims in the coming weeks would not be surprising. Continued claims under regular state programs continued to improve, falling by 436,000 to 6.4 million seasonally adjusted during the latest week. However, some of that improvement no doubt resulted from transition of longer-term recipients into the federal Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, or PEUC. Continued claims in that program rose by 233,000 to 4.4 million. The unemployment program seeing the most improvement was the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, or PUA, which is what covers non-payroll workers. That would include, of course, owner-operators in trucking. PUA continued claims fell by 751,000 in the latest week to 8.7 million. Together, beneficiaries of the various unemployment programs fell below 20 million in the latest data for the first time since early April. As discussed previously, the roughly 13 million recipients of federal benefits are set to lose those benefits at the end of December, absent further legislation. One more weekly indicator before we move on to the monthly data. And this one is beginning to get rather boring, but not unwelcome. Freddie Mac last week reported that the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage fell to 2.72%. That is the 13th all-time low rate recorded this year. I think we can assume that extremely attractive financing is a key factor behind a robust housing market, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about the industrial sector, which has not rebounded to the extent that the consumer sector has. However, the Federal Reserve reported that industrial production rose 1.1% in October from September, and output in the key manufacturing component of industrial production increased 1.0%. Now, those are not huge gains, given that we're still recovering, but they're much more reassuring than the numbers we had seen for September. Although I will point out that the September numbers in both industrial production and especially manufacturing had been revised higher. And in fact, the manufacturing number was revised to a very slight increase from being down in the initial data, but it was essentially flat. Industrial production has risen in 5 of the last 6 months, while manufacturing has improved in each of those months. However, gains have not been as robust as those in the consumer sectors, as I said earlier. Industrial production remains 5.6% below the pre-pandemic month of February, while manufacturing output is still 4.8% below February. Meanwhile, the consumer sector's recovery appears to be slowing. Retail and food service sales were up just 0.3% in October, and that's the slowest growth since the contraction. The retail sectors that posted the strongest growth in September, clothing stores, department stores, sporting goods stores, were among the biggest decliners in October. The biggest gain by far was in non-store retail, which was up 3.1%. And in fact, if you were to exclude non-store retail, total retail sales would have fallen 0.3% rather than risen by that same degree. Now, this is speculation, of course, but I think one possible explanation for the strength in October for non-store retail was Amazon's decision to reschedule its annual Prime Day sale from July to October. And the increase in non-store retail, by the way, in October was the second largest increase since May. Now, not surprisingly, non-store retail leads all major sectors when we look at where we are relative to February. Seasonally adjusted sales in October were just under 28% higher than they were in February for non-store retail. The next largest increase was building materials and garden equipment and supplies dealers, and that was up 14.5%. Still down by more than 10% are food services and drinking places, clothing and clothing accessory stores, gasoline stations, and department stores. By the way, the slide deck accompanying this podcast highlights the strength of non-store retail in a few other ways that I'm not going to talk about in the podcast, including a truly striking chart that compares the level of non-store retail sales to sales in both food and beverage stores and general merchandise stores. Check it out. I think you'll find it interesting. While we're on the topic of retail, the Census Bureau also revised previous and preliminary inventories to sales ratio data, showing that retail inventories were even leaner in August and September than we had thought. The ratio for both months was 1.22, and that ties June for the all-time low inventories to sales ratio for the retail sector. By the way, manufacturing is still slightly elevated, and wholesale is basically down to normal and maybe even a little lean, depending on how you want to interpret it and what you want to compare it to. Given the weak retail sales growth in October, this 1.22 ratio might prove to be the floor for the retail inventories to sales ratio in this cycle. Although retail inventories are still down 8.2% from February, they were up a very strong 1.7% in September. Given that retail trade sales were up just 0.3% in October, inventories for October would have to slow quite sharply in order to keep retail inventories as lean relative to sales as they've been. Even so, we would be talking about only a minor increase in that ratio. It's going to take a long time for the inventory situation to rebalance in retail unless we see a severe reduction in the rate of retail sales. If the retail sector seems to be slowing, you can't say that for the housing market, either in construction or in sales. Housing starts rose 4.9% in October. Perhaps more significant, the Census Bureau revised the September rate higher. So housing starts in September are now 6.3% over August rather than the 1.9% originally reported. The rate of housing starts remains 2.4% below February, but that requires a little bit of context. Residential construction was surging in February and actually, you know, was close to the highest ever, although January was actually even higher. A more telling comparison to get a sense of where we are is rather than comparing it to February is to comparing it year over year to October of 2019. By that comparison, housing starts are up 14.2%, which of course is quite strong. Permits authorized for future residential construction were flat month over month in October, but they were up 2.8% year over year and 7.4% above the rate in February. The sales size of the housing market continues to boom. Sales of existing homes rose 4.3%. The National Association of Realtors reported And that the all-time low was achieved in terms of the sales rate or the supply of homes listed for sale relative to the sales rate. The chart that I include actually focuses specifically on existing single-family homes, and that rate was even lower, or that inventory was even lower at 2.4 months. So we're seeing a very strong existing home sales. We will be getting new home sales this week, and we'll talk about that in an upcoming podcast. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Trucking revenues were down about were down 6.1% year over year in Q3. Parcel and local delivery revenues were up 15% in Q3. Spot market volumes edged slightly higher heading into Thanksgiving week. Diesel prices rose more than 2 cents after a larger gain the week before. Crude prices are edging very slightly higher. Initial claims for unemployment rose for the first time in 6 weeks. Mortgage rates fell to another all-time low. Industrial production and manufacturing output rose about 1%. E-commerce kept retail sales from falling in October. Retail inventories remain the leanest on record. Housing starts posted solid growth in October, as did sales of existing homes. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 89, for the week of November 23rd. Before I sign off, though, a programming note. Due to the Thanksgiving holiday, we're not going to drop a podcast for the week of November 30th. We're not going to see much economic data this week, and frankly, the spot market data coming out of Thanksgiving week is pretty much meaningless as far as how the market is really performing. Don't forget to download PDF and PowerPoint files accompanying this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we hope you will join us in a couple of weeks. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.